In 1 Samuel chapter number 1, I just want to read a few verses, and then we'll be looking at several verses in chapter 1 and chapter 2, and then perhaps maybe this evening, I'm not sure, but we want to get over into chapter 3 as well. We may get it all this morning. I may just give you a synopsis of the message that's in my heart. The Bible said in verse number 6, 1 Samuel chapter 1, and her adversary, Hannah's adversary, also provoked her sore to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. If you read back in chapter 1, you'll find out that Penaniah was the other wife of Elkanah. And she was always poking and gouging at Hannah because Hannah was barren. And the Bible said, "And then said Elkanah, her husband, unto her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? And Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." If you have studied the Bible, you understand that's talking about a Nazarite vow. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. I've often said, I believe some of the best praying we ever do is when we can't get a word out. And the Word of God said that the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. The Bible said here, and Hannah answered and said, verse 14. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. I'm just going to make a statement right here this morning. I may say a little bit more about it later, but anybody that lives for God sooner or later is going to be misunderstood. Eli didn't know near as much about this situation as he thought he knew, and he was God's man. The Bible said, how long shalt thou be drunken? Wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for the privilege to read the Word of God, the privilege, Lord, to study the Word of God today. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in this place. And I ask you, dear Father, that you would bless the Word of God as it goes forth. We want to, Lord, honor you this day and magnify you this day and thank you and praise you this day for your goodness among the children of men. Lord, we love you. I pray, dear God, that if there's one here lost today, that today would be the day that they would make that simple plea. Lord, that publican in the temple cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, what a simple plea. But this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. How I pray this morning, our Father, that you would bless the message, bless the hearers, bless the messenger, that we might be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Take your Bibles and turn over to Psalm 127 for just a moment. This verse of Scripture has been in my heart this week, looking forward to this service this morning. In verse number 1, I'll read verse 1, 2, and 3. The Bible said, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep." Look at verse 3. "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Brother Brent, I didn't plan on this morning, God's truth. But brother, are all of your children with you today? They're all with you today. And they're all serving the Lord. Do you know how blessed you are, brother? How many in this building besides me have a child that's not serving the Lord, that we're burdened for, broken for? Stand up a minute. There's hands all over this building. Stand up. If you have a child that's not serving the Lord, amen. Look at this. I want you to look around. You're not alone. Amen. Brother Brent, if you don't do anything else, pray for us, would you, brother? Some of us have got a youngin', amen, that's out there in the far country. But we believe there's a God in heaven that still loves them. And they can still come to themselves. They can still get up one day and say, "I will arise and go to my Father's house." Amen. Hearing the word of God, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord." Some of you have young children. Brother Frankie, I think about you sitting back there. And today they're stepping on your toes. And tomorrow, they have the capacity to be stepping on your heart. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, I don't believe there's a greater responsibility given to us as parents than our children. We've been praying for children, praying for grandchildren, praying that God would help them, amen, and God would move upon them. You say, "Preacher, why are you so interested in having an old-fashioned Baptist church?" I'll tell you why. That's the only hope for the children. That's the only hope for our grandchildren. That's not why we're not going down the contemporary music route. That's why we're not changing Bibles. That's why we're not lowering the standards. Because that's the only hope for our children and our grandchildren in this generation. I want to give you some things, how that God spoke to my heart here in this scripture. It begins with a burden. I'm going to tell you something that's become evident in here on Saturday evening. Our burden's increasing. Amen. We're determined. Brother Ralph, we're not just going to let the devil have them without putting up a fight. Amen. We're going to carry him into the throne room of God, believe God can do what we can't do. Amen. There's a burden. A burden. Hannah's being made fun of. Let me say this to young people today. If you live for God, you'll be made fun of too. Somebody will be provoking you and gouging you too. Amen. If you have a decency about you and a love for God about you, others will notice, and you will not be the most popular if you love the God of this Bible and live for the God of this Bible. I've had people say to me in the ministry, "Preacher, you'll never be popular preaching like that." Let me just say this to you. God's men didn't get in it to be popular. They got in it because the God of heaven called them. Amen. And because God put it in their heart to preach the word of God like it is to people like they are. Hannah has a burden. She has a burden. She's burdened because she's barren. Let me just say this and make a spiritual application. We'll never have revival until God's people get to the place where they're burdened because they're barren. You say, "Preacher, I don't understand what you mean. Not bringing children into the kingdom of God. Not seeing births into the family of God. Not seeing people born again." Amen. I'm telling you, that ought to bring a burden to the hearts of God's people. Amen. The average church today is just like a social gathering. Gather in for a little while and go home, forget about it. God deliver us from that. God help us to remember why He put us on this hill. God help us to remember why we're still in this world. Yes, Jesus is coming. And the only reason I can figure, Brother Brent, that He hasn't already come, there's got to be one more somewhere to be birthed into the family of God. The bride is not yet complete. Often wonder when the last one says, Lord, would you please save me? Boom, we're out of here. Amen. The bride is made up and complete. Glory. There's a burden. But not only is there a burden here in the Scripture, she said she wept sore. And she said something to the Lord. She vowed a vow in verse 11. She said, O Lord of hosts, if Thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of Thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget Thine handmaid, but will give unto Thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. There shall no razor come upon his head. She's burdened because she doesn't have a child. She's burdened, I believe, more so about that than anything else that's going on, even the provocation that's going on, and even those that are poking and making fun at her. There's a burden. I'm not trying to be mean this morning. But we're never going to experience the fullness of God's blessing until we experience the fullness of the burden that we need to be under. When Zion travailed, the Word of God said, she brought forth. And I'm telling you, we're living, my friend, in a time when there's not a whole lot of travail going on. Men and women, boys and girls are dying at a breakneck speed and going to hell. And it's as if Jesus cares, yes He does, but not many others care. Not many others care. Hannah was burdened. The second thing I see in the text here, I'm just giving it to you like the Lord spoke to my heart, as a birth. The Bible said in verse number 20, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. I see a birth. You say, preacher, I don't know what that has to do with children or heritage of the Lord. Let me say something to you this morning. Listen to me carefully right here. We're living in a world where children are being destroyed before they're ever born. And we're living in a world, Brother Brent, where many of them are born and they become a burden instead of becoming a blessing. They didn't want them. People didn't want them. I said this often when I was in prison, and it's the truth. Any man can lie with a woman and bring forth a child into this world, but it takes a real man to be a father. It takes a real man to raise a child in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It takes a man, amen, and a woman, my friend, that understand that with the birth comes a responsibility to raise that youngin' for the Lord. God will in no way allow us to choose for our children. They're a free moral agent on their own. They'll make a choice. Our choice is to train them for the glory of God. There's a birth. You say, preacher, what do you see in this birth? She said, I have asked him of the Lord. His name, Samuel, means asked of God. This is a fulfillment of a prayer that Hannah has prayed. And my friend, listen, it starts with a burden and then comes forth a birth. And we move right into the third thing in the message, the blessing. Watch what I'm going to say. The Word of God tells us here in verse number 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her. Let me just give you something. Listen to me carefully right here. Look at verse 11. She vowed a vow. You say, preacher, what's the blessing in this text? I'll tell you what the blessing is. Listen to me carefully. I'm trying to be polite.
But many of God's people have vowed a vow and then went away and forgot about it. Hannah did not vow a vow and then go away and forget about it. I'm telling you, there are people in America, there are people in the world that God has put their hand on and they've said, yes, I'll serve. And then somewhere down the road, they begin to crawfish and they begin to back up. There's no place to back up on what we've told God we would do. The blessing comes. She said, Lord, if you'll give him to me, I'll give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. Can I say this? If this speaks to your heart, listen to me carefully. It needs to. But I believe that we're living in a generation where sometimes the great, I said sometimes, not always, but sometimes the greatest thing holding youngins back from going on for God is the very parents themselves. They're scared to death. I've heard statements from parents, well, my youngin, he'd starve to death if he was to be a preacher. I question, do I look like I'm starving? Amen. Oh, if my youngin was to be a missionary, he'd starve to death. I'm going to tell you something right now. Hannah realized that the safest place in the whole world for Samuel was in the hands of the God that gave him to her. The safest place for our children is in the hands of the God that gave them to us. Many times we miss the blessing. We try to direct and we try to steer. And we should direct them into the love of God. And we should direct them into the Word of God. And by the way, we should direct them into the house of God. If they're living at home, church shouldn't be optional. Say amen right there. Shouldn't be optional. You say, preacher, you'll drive them away. I'm going to tell you something right now. If I'm paying the bills, they're going to church. The Word of God's their only hope. The people of God. God can use. The Bible said here, as we look at the blessing, and when she had weaned him, she took him with her, with three bullocks and one ephah flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. I don't know who the evangelist was, but I can remember a preacher years ago saying this, and I've heard several say it since. He said, when I was little, I had a drug problem. You've heard it, haven't you, Brother Brent? He said, my mom and daddy drugged me to church on Sunday morning. They drugged me to church on Sunday night. You like that, don't you, Sister Geraldine? Amen. You remember dragging them. Sometimes they don't want to go. Just drag them on anyway. Drag them to revival. Drag them to the house of God. I'll tell you something right now. She kept her word. And that's a blessing. When a parent will keep their word. They slew a bullock and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed. Wonder what Eli's thinking now. For this child I prayed. This is that woman I thought was drunk. But God straightened me out. God showed me it was her burden. She said, oh my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Watch verse 28. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Brother Lance, I don't know what God's going to do with them boys. And you don't either. Sister Amanda, we don't know what God's going to do with them. But I can tell you this, I believe he's already got his hand on them. Amen. I tell you, this preacher would never want to stand in the way of what God wants to do with them. Amen, Brother Larry. Lord, just whatever, just you do it, Lord. Preacher don't do it. Daddy don't do it. God has to do it. Amen.
I believe with all my heart, the blessing comes when we realize this. I could take little Olivia, my granddaughter, and hold her up this morning. Now, I couldn't do that with Aubrey. She's all grown up on me. But I could take little Olivia and hold her up this morning. Bob could do that, her daddy. Here's what God wants us to see. Every good and perfect gift cometh down. That this is a gift. Salvation is a gift from God. Amen. But I tell you, life itself, anybody that's ever been in the birthing room with their wife or with a mother, and they understand, amen, they understand that this is a miracle of God that we're witnessing. And every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Olivia's blessed, but so is Charity and Bob. Many children come into a situation that they didn't ask for. Many children never know what a peaceful home is. Brother Mark, many children grow up and die and never know what it is to catch Papa praying. Papa, what are you doing? Praying. Many children leave this world, are you listening to me, and never know the blessing of being presented to the Lord. Here in the Word of God, children are a heritage of the Lord. I thank God for Sunday school teachers. It's coming upon election time, and we have to make up our mind in our heart, does the Lord want me to go on in what I'm doing, or does He want me to step aside? I'll guarantee you there's times every Sunday school teacher, every pastor, every deacon, everybody that's doing anything for God, Brother Fred, the choir, everybody that's doing it, there are times when you think, what am I doing? It just seems like it's a rut. It just seems like it's a routine. It just seems like really nothing's happening. I'm going to tell you something right now. God wants us to be faithful. The children are worth it. They're worth it. They're worth it. They're a heritage of the Lord. Brother Law, I praise the God of heaven for a touch that He's put on our church and on our people, even to expand our missions program, just to support missionaries and to get the gospel out. But many people don't look at it like this. But our children and our teenagers are a mission field. They are a mission field. We're preparing the budget for next year. And because we've added another van and because the vans are full, we're budgeting more money to do activities, more money to do things with the children. Listen to me. What's happening with many of these children, with ours, it would be extracurricular. But with many of these children, it is the highlight of their life. What they get to do with somebody that loves them, with a group of people that loves them. Children are heritage of the Lord. This morning, I've got more. The great thing about pastoring is, Brother Howard Robinson used to say, it's kind of like a train. He said, you can just uncouple and couple it back up. God willing, we'll couple back up in this text tonight. I see the burden. I see a birth. And I see the blessing. I see a mother that's doing, Sister Danielle, just exactly what she told God she would do. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. We need to do what we've told God we will do. Amen. It's better not to vow a vow than to vow a vow to God and to break it. This morning,
I want to ask you this. A while ago, I don't know how many people, I didn't count them, but I wouldn't doubt there wasn't 30 or 35 people standing. That said, "Preacher, I've got a youngin' out there." I want to ask you a question. Let me ask this question another way. How many of you, as of right now, you have no idea personally by experience what it is to have a youngin' in the far country? How many of you would raise your hand? Amen. Bless the Lord. Raise them up here high for me just a minute. Would you? You've not experienced that. Ain't that wonderful, Brother John? Is it too early, Brother John, to go to praying for that boy? That he wouldn't step on Mama's heart, that he wouldn't step on Daddy's heart. But more than that, that he wouldn't step on the heart of the one that loved him and went to Calvary and died for him. Amen. God would ask us this morning, if you don't know that experience, would you pray for the rest of us? Would you pick up our burden a little bit? You say, "Preacher, I don't even know how to pray." Some of you that raised your hand and you don't know what it is to have a youngin' that's wayward, you have been a youngin' that was wayward. You have been a youngin' that went out there, done your own thing for a period of time. Amen. Didn't walk with God. Some of you may not even know that, and I bless the Lord for you. But we need to pray one for another. But then those said, the many. I had no idea there would be that many in this congregation. I've never asked that question before. That have a child that's like the prodigal son out there in the book of Luke. Out there in the far country. Literally, I can say, wallowing with pigs. Living in slop. Charity, Bob, it'd be better that Olivia never been born than to grow up and leave this world without Jesus. Oh, dear God, if you've seen the pictures of her, you know how beautiful she is on the outside. My prayer is that one day God will make such a change in her heart when that time comes that she'll not only be beautiful on the outside, but she'll be beautiful on the inside for the glory of God Almighty. How many of you, I've tried to quit and I will. How many of you that raised your hand a while ago and you have a child that's wayward, have fought in your spirit a hardened heart, a calloused heart? How many would raise your hand right there? I have. That heart, if you're not careful, Brother Andy, gets to where it can't weep anymore. Gets to where if we believe the lie of the devil that it's hopeless, and we forget that God is still on the throne, and we forget that the same God that reached down in the hog trough and picked us up can reach down in the hog trough and pick them up. Change their life and use them for the glory of God. I believe with all my heart this morning. I'll show you tonight as we go on in the message. But this thing didn't just start right in the life of Samuel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It finished right in the life of Samuel. Not many people are going to remember how we started, but a whole lot of people are going to remember how we finished. May God help us to fight the good fight of faith, to finish the course, and to keep the faith. Our grandchildren are dependent on it. Our children are dependent on it. The young generation that we serve, God has called us to serve them, are dependent on it. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you, Lord, for this story in the Bible about Hannah and Elkanah and Peninnah, Eli, Samuel. Thank you, Father, that you said every word of God
is given by inspiration of God. God, you didn't put this in the Bible for no reason. Lord, you want us to know that children are a gift from God. Children are a heritage of the Lord. Oh God, this morning, give us a burden. Help us, our Father, not to give up. Help us, Lord, to get a hold of the horns of the altar, not to turn loose. Till you work in mighty power.